Welcome everyone to the March 10th, 2005 meeting of the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. I'd like to call the meeting to order and open by saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'll start with our roll call.
Commissioner Winter?
Here.
Commissioner Munoz?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner House?
Here.
Commissioner Solu?
Here.
Chairperson Ludi?
Here.
And Commissioner Wilson is absent this evening.
Okay. The first section of our meeting is for public comment. If there are members in the audience wishing to address the commission on any matter other than a public hearing item, they may do so at this time. Comments are generally limited to 5 minutes. When you approach the mic, please state your name.
My name is Grace Melton. Good evening, Andrea and staff and commissioners. I'm here this evening to call attention to the petition which is being circulated. New tennis courts, anyone? No, thank you. Not when the city of Morro Bay is trying to fix a busted budget. A petition is in, the petition is in support of the proposal to put on hold the proposed tennis courts at Del Mar Park and to return allocated monies back to general fund. I urge the commissioners to take action tonight to put the proposed tennis courts on hold and return all allocated monies back to the general funds. And I'll thank you now for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Betty Forsyth. I feel like I need to go down. And I live in Morro Bay, and I'm a very proud resident of Morro Bay for the last 10 years. And during that time, I've had a lot of visitors come up, and most of the time it's kayaking, hiking, and enjoying the outdoor life here, and nobody wants to play tennis. And my position is, before I lob over the net for tennis, I want to make sure we have a Morro Bay Library, which is being threatened to close, and that we have an appropriate fire department giving services to the community. And therefore,
my name is Danny Toe. I'm here this evening about the tennis court. I understand that there has been some money that's been put away for these courts for about 4 years. I love tennis. It's one of my sports of choice. And I love swimming, and we don't have a pool yet either. Right now, because we're facing this horrendous budget cut, I don't want you to use the tennis court money, but I would like you to delay it and just have it there. I don't want to lose our important staff members. We need the security. We need our fire department staff and definitely our police department staff, because that is where all the emergency calls go through. I've joined the police academy, and I've got to see what their schedule looks like, and yeah, they seem to be all over the place. Well, they're not. If you look at their staff, they're not really. We're not overstaffed at all. I know that there are certain people in this room that love tennis as much as I do, and I don't want to use that money again. I just want to have it there and maybe delay for a couple of years. If we could put up lights on the existing courts that have little quarter meters or hour meters. I know there's a couple on Shasta. I went and looked at them this morning. The surfacing is nice. If they were lit till maybe 8:30 at night so they wouldn't disturb anyone's peace. And I don't know how many other courts there are around here, because I was playing at the Avila Bay Club. Anyway, like I said, I don't want you to use the money, but just keep something in reserve. We have no reserve now. When I was on the promotion board, the budget that we're working off of now, we borrowed from a year and a, or 2 years ago, that million and a half. We don't have anything left. Thank you.
Thank you.
Eliminate
eliminated one of the positions that we really need. We only have eight firefighters. I mean, I just think it would be ludicrous for us to put up a tennis court. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any other speakers for public comment?
Good evening. I'm Sandy Hilo, resident of Morro Bay and business person. And I'm here on the new business, A1 discussion on the proposed fee changes that are going to be increased to the facility that I've used for my business for the past 8 years. In building this business and giving reasonable prices to my clients, and I've made this facility a very important part of my business, making it my home base. I do work, however, the entire county of SLO, so I do have kitchen facilities in other parts of SLO, but this is my preferred place to be. I'm very comfortable. I've given it a lot of respect, and I've kept it well, you know, as far as busy, thousands of dollars that I have spent using the facility and paying the city, you know, with great pride. It's come about now that my fees will be exuberantly raised, like not gradually, but like it's going to go up on an average of $156 a day. Using the kitchen rather than the $48 fee. I normally rent 2 to 3 days at a time. Unless it's ever needed to use this kitchen, I find it very difficult because we're in a small town. We're seasonal with our businesses. We have an economic crisis. Prices have gone up. I realize that, and I realize that this facility needs to be respected in the sense that, yes, costs are high, but don't take the small business person and the local clientele away, because most of the people that live here are seniors, and I have to give them the respect of being able to afford some things that they, you know, wouldn't ordinarily afford. And I have been very gracious enough to have great, great community values and respect from my clients over those many years. And I just don't want this pulled from me. I can't afford $30 an hour, which is being proposed. That's also being proposed that I may not use this kitchen on weekends, which is primarily the time that I do my business. Unless I rent the entire facility, is the only time that I'm going to be able to use the kitchen. I can't afford $300 to $600 to rent this facility that's not even being used and turn the cost over to a client. It just doesn't make any sense. I provide income revenue not only to the city of Morro Bay, but I also have employees and people that work in this community, offering them jobs. I do all my shopping. I really stress to do local shopping. I use our local vendors. So there's this is real important. And the other thing is, I have no problem with raising. We went from the $38, then it went to $48. I had no problem with that. If we have to do any raising, if we can do like maybe start small of $10 an hour, and go and then schedule in the hours that the person would be using, because I use more than one day just for one job. I'm not going to be able to ask the consumer in Morro Bay, you know, to put up huge amounts of money. They already come to me asking for the best deal, so I get that all the time. And being that it's a seasonal business like it is in Morro Bay, we're not like big cities. We're not like SLO. Downtown San Luis has colleges, 2 colleges. They're also on the Interstate 101. We're on a small interstate of Highway 1. So we're not getting the volume of people. We do not have the huge amount of stores and shopping. The events that take place in SLO, there's also a huge amount of competition, so I deal with that. So my cost isn't about just the facility. My cost is an entire business and the people that work for me in this business. And I want to keep giving back to this community. And you know, I couldn't afford. I want to have it available on weekends. I want something changed in the viewing of why would I rent the entire facility? I've worked this business here for 8 years with an empty building and respected my space and locked up many, many times. And there's always someone here, by the way, that does the floors, so I don't need the supervision, but they're here, a community facility that everyone should be able to afford. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Joel Pace. I came here recently in July to start a small business as well. And I found the community of Morro Bay very open and with allowing community members to use the kitchen. This has been very fortunate because I actually brew a tea and I pre-brew it. I use a facility to do that. I've designed my brewing capabilities around the room, the kitchen that I use, and that's you know, it's an awesome space, and I'm fully appreciative of it. Down to business, I actually use this once a week, 5 hours. 5 hours a week. $38 was more than fair. In fact, $48, which is going to happen next week, is more than fair. Proposing to move it to $30 an hour not only would increase the price per gallon of my tea by $4, that would wipe me out. And I'm competing with global competitors, and we are doing that. I'm lifting off. It's been 5-6 months now of consistent revenue I've put into Morro Bay's, the community's revenue. The proposal is if I did an 8-hour block, I'd get such and such a rebate, and it would just work out perfectly. And I'm, you know, that's great, but it's got to be in a reasonable vicinity that is, you know, designed to support small business members. I've got a lot of invested into this business. Pushing the price to $30 an hour would not only make me lose my investment, but I think it would detract from the volume of renters would actually approach the city to rent the kitchen or any of the space. And that, you got to take that into consideration too. It's not just myself or Sandy. It's more community members. So I was thinking $10 an hour would be very reasonable if I rented it for 8 hours, even without the rebate. 8 hours, $10 an hour, $80 a day, that's reasonable. You know, take that. And that would still attract people because of the competition with Cambria, with the competition with San Luis and Paso Robles and where the study was done. It would still attract people towards using this kitchen. You know. You know, right now, I would think if I was teeter-tottering whether to go to San Luis and use the kitchen or, you know, come here and use the Morro Bay kitchen, if they were the same price, I would reconsider my whole event or where I was going to hold it. I mean, it's because it's, you know, the insurance is an issue, it would push us out. And that's, you got to consider, this price hike, would it save jobs in the long run? Possibly not, because if you don't have the volume of renters at that point, it's you just might not win anything by it. So, you know, whichever way this the ball bounces, you know, please take into consideration those that are consistent in renting the space, putting consistent revenue back into the community versus the one-timers. versus those that, that'll just rent it for a weekend every 5 to 10 years, if that. We appreciate the space. It's an open space. We treat it respectfully, and likewise. And so it would just be drastic to do that, I think, to a couple of community members at least, and perhaps more in the long run. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. And my name is Colby Kratzer. Does this function? I'm a Morro Bay resident and have been involved with parks and recreation issues for 15 years in the city of Morro Bay. And 10 of those were, so I know really what that is about in terms of the pain of making decisions, particularly the financial decisions, when it seems like the city's under some financial threat. But I would be one that would tell you that there's certainly light at the end of the tunnel. This one, according to your finance director, is not nearly as dire. You should have heard the finance director at the time that we had to cut staff. It didn't sound anything like the reassurances that the council are receiving now. So anyway, to the issue, it's about taking the funded tennis court project, which has been funded for about 4 years, as had been mentioned, and then taking that money and returning it to the general fund. Capital projects, when the finance director, Mr. Kozer, is reviewing the preparing the mid-year budget review that just took place, and then preparing proposed budgets for the next 2 years, they're done in 2-year increments, he assures me it would never go back and use a funded capital project in those calculations. That money was spent long ago, as far as the calculation go for the financial straits of the city. Now, basically, this is a promise to the community that's been longstanding. There, Grace Melton mentioned a petition. I don't know what she was talking about. She was talking about the petition that was passed around. That was about 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. If the commissioners are interested, maybe I can just hand these out, but there are 200 signatures, may I? Uh-huh. And those have been in the hands of the commission in the past. If you were on it, you're probably aware of them, and with the director of Parks and Recreation for all these many years, without any additions to it, no attempt to add, take a funded project and return the money. It has never happened, according to our finance director in the city of Morro Bay, before. About the court itself, I'll say just a couple of words, and if you're curious, you can find out from the tennis players or those that were on that committee that actually went over and play on it. Andrea and I and Gene League and a number of other people went over and played on a court similar to the one that's being proposed at this site in Del Mar Park. And the basic idea is it's water-free. It doesn't use any water. It'd be consideration here in town. So it's a very low maintenance surface, but yet it's forgiving to older joints, and it's an opportunity for younger players to play on a surface that's different than the typical one that's provided at Morro Bay High School. There are a number of courts there, and yet if you care about the sport at all, there's a reason why Americans don't win the French Open very often. It's because we don't have experience playing on that. The real reason for us doing this project, though, was consideration from the older players and how their lifelong sport can be continued without the trauma to the knees, hips. And we have players, maybe some in the audience, that have artificial joints from playing the sport of tennis. And this really is kind to that type of a body. The older body can play on these for a long time without feeling the pain or requiring the Tylenol. The main point, I think, is that the council that funded this made a promise to their community. You are a representative of them or of another iteration of the city council, and you're not really charged with this type of activity to take a previous decision that was already funded and reverse it here and spend their money. Would be that there's a variety of available municipal courts, both hard cement courts and the soft surface type. there's another element of what's going on, and maybe you can hear it somewhat in my voice. It's disappointing to see that a decision like this has been made into a political football. I can see the pressures that are put on you here, but when a politician is looking for a platform to run for council or for any position, you need feathers to put in your cap. And one feather to put in the cap would have to do with being able to say to the dog walkers, or because I understand there are dog walkers that treat the area where this court has been dedicated to be built for a long, long time. It may be close to a decade. These have been graded for a tennis court. It just so happens this is a convenient place that city staff has been lenient in allowing people to walk their dogs in this area. So there's a contingency of people that use that as like an unofficial dog park that would then be influenced, persuaded, pleased with the removal of this project. It is not actually according to the laws of the city of Morro Bay to allow that type of activity, but staff often overlooks some activities that are on the books and doesn't enforce it. This one, I think, has been a bit more encouraged than that. The other, of course, is it would be a feather in your cap to be able to say, look at what I did. I saved a staff-level position because $130,000 is about how much. There's been $22,000, perhaps, whatever that amount is, that was expended on soil engineer, plus many, many hours. Many, many hours of staff time toward this. So I'd ask you to follow your instinct and not do something unprecedented by removing this funded project from the community.
Thank you. Do we have any other speakers for public comment?
Yeah.
Making a downward adjustment there. At the middle.
At the middle.
Hello, my name's Deborah Beattie. I'm a longtime resident of Morro Bay, and I'm a tennis player. And I've been looking forward to these courts for a long, long time. It is difficult sometimes to find a place to play, especially since the schools, the security around the schools has been increased so much for the kids. We used to play on the school courts. They don't let us play there anymore while school's in session. It's just not allowed at the middle school or at the high school. And I can understand that. But another point that I wanted to make about the tennis was that I belong to a tennis club. It includes many people in a lot of the communities, all ages, and I do mean all ages. I play on a team that my mother is also a member of. And it is the sport of a lifetime, and tennis courts are for young kids. Anymore is a private club. I'm not prepared to pay the kind of money that you have to pay to belong to a private club, and I don't want tennis to become so exclusive that that's what you have to do. And I think that's part of parks and recreation, that you're providing recreation for the community. So I just would like you to take that into consideration when you consider the tennis courts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any other speakers for public comment? Please step forward.
Surprise.
Hello.
I think you've all seen me here before on the same topic. You know, I don't like to waste a lot of your time. I took it upon myself to call the...
Sorry, Dr. Nolan. Could you please announce your name?
Oh, my name is Phil Nolan, and I'm a resident here in Morro Bay. And I'm a previous member of a small committee that was formed with Andrea Luker and Leva Winter and others to investigate the possibilities of getting this court in Delmar Park. I personally put in many, many hours and many, many dollars because I really believe in this project. It's, as you know, it's been over 10 years in the making. I have a copy of this report that of the signatures. Unfortunately, many date on the Zeebrugge-Harris money that we most probably will get. When I talked to the state a week ago, they said that a letter would be sent out to the Recreation and Park Department heads the 3rd and 4th of this month. I don't know if we received the letter yet, but the letter was just to let us know if we had filled out the forms correctly, and if not, what needed to be completed. So I urge you to please at least wait until we hear if we can get more money from the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Jacob Volkoff, and the other speakers here have already given much more information than I can, so I just want to give my support as well for the tennis court projects. I'm an avid tennis player. I know there's a lot of other players out here in the community that aren't here tonight, but I think there's a lot of public support for more tennis courts here in Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Ted Olson. For the last 5 years, I've been instructing the juniors or the middle school in tennis after school, and it'd be nice not to give them discouraging words and increasing the possibility of Morro Bay having a men's tennis team again. Thank you.
Thank you. Just that we would move it up under item B1. And we'll continue with the rest of the. Oh, actually, we can move it up as the first under unfinished business, if the commission is okay with that. That would be the first item under unfinished business, so that we can address that for the folks that are in the audience, so they don't have to stay through all the other items. We'll continue on with the agenda now. Oh, I'm sorry. Also, we have under new business item A1, which was also commented upon. We will be addressing that in the order that it's listed on the agenda. Okay. We move now to the item for approval of minutes of the February 10th, 2005 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the meetings from February 10th. Any discussion? No discussion? Call for the motion. For the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Moving on to announcements. Andrea?
Thank you and good evening. I have two announcements this evening. First, I want to remind all the commissioners as well as our audience and our audience at home that tomorrow night is Dixon's Spaghetti Dinner. It begins at 4 o'clock. It goes till 7:30. It's a fundraising event for the Morro Bay Community Foundation, who provide scholarship funds for children to participate in recreation programs. Over the last 9 or 10 years, the foundation has given out over $90,000 of scholarships to children in the community, as well as Los Osos and Cayucas, so we hope that you attend. Secondly, a reminder to you that we will be celebrating Arbor Day on April 29th. We'll be doing some planting around the library, and that event begins at 3 o'clock. I believe the 29th is a Friday, and we encourage the commissioners as well as anybody in the public to attend. And those are my announcements. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. We'll move now to new business, item A1, discussion on proposed fee changes for kitchen use at the Morro Bay Community Center and the Veterans Memorial Building.
Good evening once again. Item A1 is really a follow-up. As the commission will recall, a couple of weeks ago or almost a month ago now, the commission approved some changes to our master fee schedule in terms of facility use. And we took that to the City Council, and they approved those changes, and those facility fees will be going into effect on March 14th, next Monday. We are bringing back to you an item looking specifically at the kitchen use at Morro Bay Community Center and the Veterans Memorial Building. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to Joe Woods, our facility superintendent, who will be giving this report this evening.
Thanks, Joe.
Chair, Lady, and Commission. Item 1A is a discussion of the proposed fee changes and the and policy changes for the kitchen use at the Morro Bay Community Center and the Veterans Memorial Building. The financial impact for this policy, basically, we look to increase revenues anywhere in between the range of $5,000 and $8,000 a year. And it's a range because there's a lot of variables that go along with the fee structure. Obviously, it's a fee matrix, and the fee depends on the user group. So currently, our fees are based on a per event or a per day event fee. So this allows the applicant to rent the kitchen out for one fee for the entire day. The guidelines in our policy is that you cannot rent the kitchen anymore past 1 a.m. and you can't start any earlier than 7 a.m. So it's basically, if a person was to come in, they could rent the place for, a nonprofit group could use it for $22.50 and basically be in the kitchen use for the entire day. Obviously using the ovens, the ice machine, refrigeration, and as much water as they needed. Also, the kitchen is available on a first-come, first-served basis. And oftentimes, there's been rentals for kitchen-only uses here and maybe a kitchen barbecue only at the Veterans Memorial Building. Well, this basically curtails any other uses of the facility for larger events. Larger events such as wedding receptions and anniversary parties and birthday parties have an expectation of using the kitchen. And generally those events have outside guests that come into town, and with that, they're looking to do these parties at the community center, and they want to have the kitchen use as well as the auditorium or the assembly room use. So basically, our rental of a kitchen only, we have a couple of expectations that we need to meet as far as the client's expectations coming in and having a facility and a kitchen available. And we also have expectation of raising revenues for the city. The rates for the kitchen have not been raised in over 10 years. I know you have a current proposal that's going into effect on the 14th of this month, but that is basically for the kitchen is more of a roundup, an even number for financial purposes. So city staff took this project. We did some research throughout the county. We come up with basically six other agencies that rent their kitchens out, and we found that for the most part, there was only one other agency out there that rented their kitchen for a day use. All the other agencies were renting them as an hourly rental. And we also found that with the hourly rental, they were giving 8-hour blocks of time for discounted prices. So basically, if you had a group that came in and was going to rent the hall for a wedding reception, basically, they would need the kitchen for an 8-hour period. And that's where you see the proposed 8-hour rate is a discounted rate. Basically, it's 35% less of the hourly rate. The kitchen policy adjusts both we're proposing the changes for the fees as well as the policy. And basically, we're looking to do away with the per day rate and go into the hourly rate. And we're also looking to allow or restrict kitchen only uses to Monday through Friday. We've heard a couple business folks come in, and basically Monday through Friday is for the most part when they rent the facility. If there was a weekend, a Saturday or Sunday that was requested to be used, then we would want that kitchen to be used with other parts of the facility. Going back to my earlier statement, the expectation of the user group the wedding reception, the anniversary, the birthday party, they come in with 200 people. They have an expectation of using the kitchen. And if I have a kitchen-only use in, I've made, basically in the old fee matrix, I could make a little less $22.50 for the day as opposed to a $300, $400, $500 rental that would include the kitchen. So by implementing this policy, you would obviously make the kitchen available for those weekend uses. I did a little bit more research on the previous fiscal year. Actually, I went back three or four or five fiscal years, but I can give you an example of the previous fiscal year where this kitchen was used a total of 105 times. 29 of those uses were internal, where there was no revenues generated directly with the kitchen rental. They would either be a star party or a parents' night out where they would use the kitchen, or Dixon Halfley's spaghetti feed fundraiser. That's a kitchen use that we won't generate any revenues on directly. But the other uses were 76 external uses. And if you take the external uses and look at the potential revenues, you're looking at, if it was running by a nonprofit organization, which is basically the lowest amount of money that you would generate by renting the facility based on your master fee matrix, you would come up with $1,710. Of that 76 uses, you're looking at 801 hours. So if you went into the hourly rate and you were charged the minimum, which is a nonprofit rate of $15, the revenues would be $12,015. Significant increase when you're calculating the hours of use as opposed to the days use. Now, granted, a fee increase may curtail some other users, so there may be a slight drop in that, but these are basically conservative numbers. I'll give you another example. There was a rental not too long ago. The group came in and spent 9.5 hours in the kitchen. Well, 9.5 hours, we charged them $27 for the day. We feel that in the new proposed policy that they would more likely go to an 8-hour block rate for the discounted rate. And instead of $20 an hour, which we would charge without the discounted rate, would be $190 a day for the day, for the 9.5. And with the 35% discount, that rate would be $104. So I hope I didn't lose anybody. But basically that 9.5 hour rental of the kitchen would go from $27 to $104 on the proposed budget, policy that I'm in front of you. So we're basically looking to make the facility more available for one-time users, and we're also looking to increase our revenues to the city. I'd like to open it up to questions at this time.
Joe, could you just quickly walk us through like the area for nonprofit groups or public schools, for example, on each of the charts that you have here, just so
certainly
gets an opportunity to.
I'll give it a go. The community center, right now, with the proposed increases, are going to be $22.50 for the day. A nonprofit organization, if this was adopted, would go into a $15 an hour or an 8-hour block of $78. And I would, and if I could take a little bit of a sidetrack, through all my comparisons, the most reasonable one I thought and most comparable would be the Veterans Memorial Building in San Luis Obispo, run by the county. And their nonprofit rate for the kitchen, make sure I have my nonprofit rate for the kitchen. That's their nonprofit rate for the kitchen is $13 an hour. We're proposing $10 an hour. And their 8-hour block goes to 65, and ours is 52. If you go up to a profit-making organization, at the Veterans Memorial Building, We're proposing to charge $25 an hour. The county is already billing $26 an hour. We both have an eight-hour rate of $130. So that's just a comparison with the county. Back to these, you just want me to talk about the nonprofit rates?
That answers my question.
Would that help you out? Because the rates are a little bit higher. We're proposing a little bit higher rates, $5 more an hour for the community center than the Veterans Memorial Building. We feel the size and the amenities here warrant a smaller increase.
Do any of the commissioners have any comments, questions for Joe?
Dave.
Well, I understand the rates haven't been up, you know, in 10 years, but my feeling is that this is a community center for the, you know, community center for the community. I feel that the city should be providing a service for the community to use this building, and I think some of these rates go too high, you know, are very steep. I can understand raising them, but I just think that some of them just go, are quite a steep raise in it. To me, the city should provide a service for, you know, people to use it of the community. To me, these seems like more, the city's not a business to make money in this. I think this is too steep. I think you could lose citizens, groups, and organizations who use the kitchen. So that's just my comments.
Johnny?
I agree with David, but you know, with the budget the way it is and stuff, I feel there should be an increase in the fees. In the fees, but is there a way that we can not raise them as much? Maybe readjust these figures just a little lower for now. And then, for example, let's look at the community center instead of the $12.50 per hour. And I realize these are lower than some of the others. Some of the other cities, but considering that we're going to raise them a little more, quite a bit more than what they were, can we just maybe relook at these and, like, for example, instead of the $12.50 per hour, go to like maybe even 9 or 10, the 16, go down to 12, increase it, but not substantially?
To answer your question directly, yes, that is a possibility. Staff did a comparison. I felt that the numbers we came up with were in line with other agencies in the county. I actually found that the city of Atascadero doesn't even allow you to rent their pavilion on Saturday unless you rent the whole thing. And if you're a resident group, it's $2,500 for the day, 15 hours, and it includes their facility and all the kitchens and staff time and maintenance. So they kind of lump it all together, and they limit their usage. So I thought, you know, we don't want to go that extreme because this is a large facility, and we want it to be open to all aspects of the community, whether it's a small group that's meeting with 14 people or it's 250 people meeting for a reception. So blocking out the whole facility was really not an option. So the hourly rate we felt was a good option, and we felt that the comparison throughout the county was fairly in line. We're on the very top of the heap, but we wouldn't be on the bottom of the heap. We wouldn't be doing the per day anymore. But to increase any amount, there's no rules on that guide us to come to the conclusions of what prices we need to charge. It's basically other agencies have called me throughout the years and getting our policies, and then they kind of tweak theirs. So we all kind of play leapfrog throughout the years. And right now, if you didn't want to extend these prices as far as they have been, it's certainly your option. Staff would go back and recalculate that to make it maybe not as a large of a jump in this initial. But we would suggest that this be a target line to reach for. If in fact you don't want us to increase this all in one step, that maybe your direction through a motion would be to implement this incrementally throughout the next two or three fiscal years. And that would certainly be one of your options.
Joe, question. the fee increases that are indicated on these charts, were they based on a cost recovery for the overall use, the factors of cost of water, electrical, gas, that type of thing?
Basically, no, they weren't.
Okay.
They weren't based on that because of the type of what a person uses in the kitchen, it really fluctuates. The gentleman who makes the tea, he uses an awful lot of water, probably 20 times more than Sandy does. So it's hard to base something on actual utilities. We base it on the size of the facility and the amenities that are available, and then we base it on the competition.
Actually, I have a couple of questions. When you did the study and you got the information from the six other facilities around the county, I'm wondering if any of them were in Morro Bay and if it would be possible to get some information from a direct competitor, for example, the Catholic Church across the street. Also, I'm wondering if when you break the prices down, or if when you broke the prices down, if there was any consideration of the facility in Atascadero's square footage size when you say that the kitchen is included with the overall facility and that's how they rent it.
Mm-hmm.
If their square foot is, you know, 40,000 square feet and ours is 10,000, that's a huge difference for facility.
Their rental on the whole facility is just on Saturday.
It's just on Saturday.
Yeah, their kitchen rates are basically, if I'm going to, I can quickly glance, but I believe they are for a resident group, actually a private group, the weekday rate is $45 an hour, and the evening Sunday rate is $55 an hour.
And that's for the kitchen?
That's for the kitchen only.
The kitchen only. Okay.
Yeah, so they block it all out. They don't allow any other uses on Saturday unless you rent the whole thing.
Okay.
And that was part of the policy. We're trying to allow not exclusive kitchen use on the weekends, but we're allowing it to be available to groups who want to use the auditorium,
right,
and they can get the kitchen. That's an expectation we feel that's important.
Sure. With that thought in mind, here's my next question. Do you know how many groups were turned away last year because the kitchen was booked and they wanted the kitchen with the entire facility?
I would gather to say we might have lost one at best. Generally speaking, we work really well with the caterers that are back there. Mm-hmm. And if the group comes in and they need to use the kitchen, we'll either relocate someone who's in there now, mm-hmm, so there'll be a caterer. Basically, it's a business that's using the kitchen only. Rarely do we get, you know, we do a tamale fundraiser. They'll come and make tamales all day. But that caterer Sandy is in the audience. She's been willing to move on several occasions. And we've also had joint use of the kitchen.
Okay.
But I'm not in favor of a joint use of a kitchen. It has potential for conflict between two groups. And whether it's happened or not in the past is something that we don't want to experience in the future. I believe that the group comes in and they want to rent the place and they have their own food prep going on, they should have that space. I'm not saying that it's ever happened before, but I'm a little bit sketchy to go into the future with a relationship like that.
My last question for you is,
sure,
is there a way to see, when you did your study, is there a way to see what the median price was, not the average price of kitchen rental, but the median price?
Is there a way? Yes.
Did
we use that? Not necessarily.
Okay. I'm just saying that because I do think that we do need to look at raising the prices. I'm not sure if looking at exactly what other people do in other communities is right for us. And I think that it would be nice to know what the median price is around the county. And the reason I say that is because I think that Morro Bay does have a lot of retired citizens and a lot of people on limited budgets who may want to use the facility. And I think having the price right in there in a median range might be, you know, more feasible for them for future use. That's just my thoughts.
Okay. Let me add on to your comment. When you want to compare throughout the county, it's very difficult. I mean, you heard me describe Atascadero's fee structure. City of Paso Robles is a nonprofit organization, gives you $5 an hour. Let me get to the kitchen. $5 an hour for a nonprofit rate, nonprofit group, during normal hours. Okay? After normal hours, it goes to $15. And then, and if you're a private or a profit group, it goes from $15 an hour during normal time to $30 an hour. So there's a way to get there, but it's a little bit lengthier just to try to keep the apples and apples together so you can have a direct comparison.
Okay.
So basically all my, we're getting down to, they're all $30 plus an hour when it goes to off hours, like evenings and weekends. And so there's some people, some groups are subsidizing the nonprofits. Obviously, $5 an hour is a subsidy from that entity, and others aren't. So it's how much do you want to look at a subsidy for a nonprofit group, and how much are you looking to recuperate down the fee matrix?
Thank you.
Do you think it's worth considering special rates for groups or individuals who use the center on an ongoing and frequent basis rather than a one-time shot? Because they do bring in regular revenue to the city. And a large increase like this will hurt them more than someone who's just coming in using it on a one-time, affair.
You know, we try to bring a policy that was general, that was a blanket policy that could be used, you know, throughout, and to bring in. We weren't singling out. Okay, let's look at who's using it now and how this is going to affect them. Obviously, we know it was going to affect them. It's a higher price. Do we want to put in that regular facility user group adjusted fee? We could do that. We have it. We do that with other groups in other facilities. The library program and the Veterans Memorial Building have a regular facility user group rate. Basically, we pull out staff and we give them a lower rate because they have been there before. They pick up their own key, they do their own setup, they do their own cleanup, and they return the keys to us. So that policy's been in place for years. It hasn't been implemented for kitchen use. It would be certainly something we could consider.
Yeah. Wasn't the whole idea to make it more available to one-time users? Wasn't that one of the ideas?
That part of our policy, that was I think what she's referring to is the weekdays, and our policy looks to change the users, the kitchen only on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. The one concern I have, my main concern, is the nonprofits. I mean, what we can do to help the nonprofits not pay any more than they have to. If we have a person running a tea business out of a city facility, I mean, that's a good thing. But if he says if he moves, it's going to cost him $4 more per container of tea, well, that means we're subsidizing a private business. And I don't really think we should be doing that. As far as the fees go, phasing them in, I wouldn't have a problem phasing them in over a couple of fiscal years. So how does everyone else feel about that?
I just like to comment that I'd like to see the city continue to work with the kitchen only and full facility groups as far as coordinating events. It sounds like there have been any major issues with that. And I would like to see maybe a group rate, the regular user group rate be considered if it's being done in other areas in the city, that maybe we could look at that for the kitchen also. And it sounds like we can still make it more available for one-time users. So if we could pull all of those components in and then phase in an increase after taking all those things into consideration, sounds like we could have a workable policy. Plus increase the rates, but, you know, do it over a period of time.
Okay. I don't know if I have all that down.
Barbara does.
Would there be a motion then for us to bring this back?
Do you have any further discussion or
comments? Well, I got one. Now, why are we looking at other counties? I'm just concerned. Morro Bay is Morro Bay. This is what we've been charging. How come we're looking at other counties? How come we aren't looking at Morro Bay? I would like to look at other cities for water rates and get the best water rate. But I think we should look at Morro Bay and maybe just increase the fees of how they were before instead of looking at other groups, comparing just Morro Bay to Morro Bay, staying with Morro Bay, maybe just increasing the rates we have now.
That's a possibility. The competition isn't just in Morro Bay, though. Okay? We lose customers over to the Pavilion and into the Officers Club in San Luis. The Monday Club, the Veterans Club, Veterans Hall in San Luis. This is the competition. We're not losing rentals in Morro Bay to Morro Bay, basically. So the comparison is basically our competition. We're just trying to keep up.
But supposedly Morro Bay is not a business. It sounds like this is a business venture. Morro Bay is a city. They're supposed to provide a service.
I understand that. And as a staff report illustrates, I mean, if I was to rent out this kitchen for $22.50 for the day for 10, 12 hours, we have some heavy subsidies going on. And the use of the kitchen isn't always by a nonprofit group. It's often by profit-making organizations. Mm-hmm. And where subsidies may or may not come into line, there has to be some direct cost recovery and also maintenance cost recovery. And I think that's part of our issue is that we looked at these rates. They haven't been going up for 10 years, but my maintenance costs and my utilities have. So you're right. The prices do need to reflect their current costs. Whether the comparison to other agencies is appropriate is still in discussion.
Okay.
I have one last question. Are most of the bookings for weekends in the month for the month, or is it somebody who knows they want to be married June 1st and they book 1 year in advance? I mean,
yeah, we have a mixture of the timelines. Basically, our policy is you can't rent the facility more than 4 months in advance. Uh-huh. And if you're asking for it more than 4 months in advance, you'd write a letter of intent to waive that policy. So oftentimes we get letters accompanied by the application that say, hey, we want to rent this thing 8 months from now because we have a tremendous amount of family coming in. So we will look at our master calendar. We will rent these facilities more than 4 months in advance, sometimes up to a year in advance.
To continue to raise weekend revenue, would you be interested in, for example, a policy that would say if it hasn't been reserved up to a month out of that date, meaning if they want it June 1st and it has not been reserved by May 1st, that you would release the kitchen?
For a kitchen only?
Uh-huh. Would you consider that?
I think that would be up on the table for consideration, certainly.
Thank you.
It sounds like what the commission might want to see is this staff report back with some additional information based on the comments that you've given us, and we're happy to bring that back to your next meeting for consideration and taking into what you've said tonight and seeing if we can come up with a compromise.
I think that would be real appropriate so we could see Joe again anyway.
Wonderful. All right. Anything else? Thank you.
Would you be able to have that back for next month, Joe?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move into item B, unfinished business, and we'll move up for our first item under there, B3, to discussion on the commission's recommendation to suspend the Del Mar Park tennis court project due to the budget deficit.
Good evening once again. Just as background information, at the December 4th, 2004 commission meeting, Finance Director Jim Kozer made a presentation about priority-based budget cutting. At that meeting, the commission was asked to consider areas within the Recreation and Parks Department budget where costs could be cut or postponed. The item was then agendized for the commission discussion at the January 2005 meeting. The commission, at their January 2005 meeting, provided input on budget cuts for this year as well as the next upcoming fiscal year. The input that the commission forwarded to the finance director and the city manager was as follows. Suspend the Del Mar Court Tennis Court project and transfer the remaining funds to the general fund. Suspend the feasibility study for the pool and transfer the funds to the general fund. Discontinue subsidizing the Cloisters Assessment District. Suspend the $78,000 budgeted for new mowers and a new truck and put back in the general fund. Look at voluntary reduction of employee hours. Eliminate COLAs for the upcoming year and freeze unfilled positions immediately. The commission also forwarded the comment that any projects or areas that were under consideration for approval that might have recreation and parks participation be placed on hold until the budget situation was improved. At the February 2005 meeting, the Recreation and Parks Commission received public comment regarding the suspension of the tennis court project, and as a result, you motioned for this item to be returned to the agenda for discussion at the March meeting tonight. As a point of discussion, the Recreation and Parks Department has spent considerable time on the Del Mar Tennis Court project, including writing two separate competitive grant applications, research on court surfacing, as well as forming and working on with the tennis court subcommittee. Following the February 2005 commission meeting, we contacted the project officer for the Roberti Zeeberg Harris Open Space Grant that we applied for in December, and we were informed that the grant awards would not be available until summer 2005. Which may be after the budget is adopted for fiscal year 2005-2006. In terms of the budget calendar for next fiscal year, the City Council will hold a priority establishing workshop on next Thursday, March 17th. We expect the commission and board comments will be presented at that meeting in some form for consideration. There also may be additional information regarding the budget for next fiscal year presented at the meeting. Based on the information that we've received to date, staff reductions are certainly a possibility. Should staffing be reduced, there is a concern about the maintenance and repair of any added parkland amenity or area. While staff is aware that a group similar to the Tidelands Adopt-A-Park group may be formed to help with the new tennis courts, added maintenance responsibilities would certainly exist and impact the Recreation and Parks Department. As a result of the request from the finance director, this commission has fulfilled their responsibility in indicating areas where the budget could be cut. The comments from the commission are one segment of information the City Council will consider in looking at the budget and where and what areas to cut or eliminate. Other segments include comments from the public, other boards and commissions' responses, and staff recommendations. I've included a timeline to date on the tennis court project at the beginning of your staff report, and I won't go over that, but you can see the progress that's been made. As well, tonight we are recommending that you discuss your previous comments on suspension of funding the Del Mar Tennis Court project and confirm a recommendation by vote to be forwarded to the finance director. I'm happy to answer questions.
One just
heard in June, but we don't know.
Discussion from commission or comments? Dave?
Yeah. Me personally, I like to see this put on hold. I've been a member of this commission for 10 years, and I think a lot of time has been put in here by the different commissioners. Also, a lot of time has been put in this by staff. I think the purpose of our commission is to promote park and recreation, and part of recreation is the tennis courts. And I personally just would like to see this just put on hold to see if we get the grant from that, just to see what happens. Because you never know what will happen in a matter of 6 months, a year, if the money comes through from the grant. So my personal opinion is to put this on hold.
I'd like to give a little history here. Jim Kozer, the city finance director, came here in November and asked us to give some recommendations. Our task was to find places to cut that would be the least, have the least amount of impact. Now, we purposely said suspend the tennis courts. We said suspend the pool, give $15,000 back to the general fund from the pool and from the tennis courts. The reasoning is, when this tennis court money was put in here, it was in July of 2002, we got almost $4 million from the Duke Power Plant that year. This year, we got $373,000. We had a $1.8 million deficit this year. We're running in the hole of $1.8 million. Next year, we have to cut $1.8 million. Now, if you own a home, say you've got a good job and you own a home, and you're making the payments on the home and you've saved up money for a tennis court, actually maintaining that sculpture themselves, even though it was going to cost $900. Recently, the library asked for matching funds. One of our citizens asked for matching funds for the library. The city $10,000. The city council could not pay that. Now, we have our fire trucks in a tent. We have potholes all over town that we don't have supplies to fix the potholes. We need to get our priorities in order. And we're cutting positions right now. We can't even maintain what we have. We've been told we're going to have to cut positions. We're going to have to cut probably 20% across the board. So the reason I'm saying suspend is we give this money back until the city is in good fiscal order. Then we get some more money back from the city. But in the meantime, we need money to run this city. We can't keep shuffling deck chairs around on the Titanic. We got to start bailing here. That's the way I feel about it. If we spend money on a tennis court at this time, when we actually had firefighters' positions being cut at the last city council meeting, I just think it's fiscally irresponsible.
I would support putting this on hold until we do hear about the matching grant. At that time, if it does come in, we can forward to city council, and if they feel that at that time we're able to go ahead with this project, fine, and if not, they feel it needs to be used for whether it's the firehouse or whatever, then I would recommend to do that, to hold on to the funds until we hear about the
put it on hold. If this is a theoretical example, what if we put it on hold and it comes back through in June or July and they say, okay, Morro Bay, congratulations, you have the grant. How long do we have to show them the matching funds, and how long thereafter do we have before we have to use those funds to build that tennis court?
The grant application was submitted based on the fact that that the funds are there. So the state is under the impression that we currently have the funds, the matching funds that we've indicated. So there's the answer to part of your question. The second part is that the funds that we requested for this project was the same granting agency that we received the funds for the Rock Restroom. And basically we had, I believe, a period of 8 years to construct the Rock Restroom. I think 3 years to finalize our contract with the state, which is basically a formality, and then another 5 years to actually complete construction and have all reimbursements in. It would be a little bit of a concern, or actually probably a pretty big concern, if we were to say that we had the funds and then have those funds go away and keep the grant, because at this point, we have a very good reputation with this granting agency, and I think as a result, that's why we've been funded a couple of different times. It's through the state of California. So we've made a promise that we had those funds. So if those funds were diverted back into the general fund, that could be an issue. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
Project that is going to provide a service for people who have some disabilities, and we do very few programs in this city for people who have limited abilities, and I think that's another reason I would like to see the project go forward. But again, if we get the grant, I would like to see the project go forward.
Can I ask a question? Andrea? Are we sure that this grant money will be enough to pay for the project?
That's always kind of a guess. We put together an engineer's estimate for the tennis court project. As the commission probably knows, and some of the people in the audience, it's a unique project and a fairly expensive one because of the condition of the soil there. So we're having to do some things that ordinarily you wouldn't have to do. To our best estimate, when we put together the grant, the funds were adequate. If we're 5 years out, there's a chance that the funds would not be adequate. But when we put together the grant, we feel like the funds were adequate at that point.
My comments that I have with regards to this item is that I believe that we as a commission acted prudently in suspending all of those items that had an outlay of funds in light of the specific circumstances of the budget deficit situation. I understand that this is a project that has been online for a number of years, and that's why spending money to the city council in light of a $1.8 million deficit. City council makes the hard decisions. If the grant funds came in prior to any decisions for the budget being made, then I would hope that the city council would have the discretion to weigh all of the circumstances with regards to moving forward with a tennis court project over people losing their jobs. That's the bottom line. I would stand with the decision that I made, just as my own individual comment. So I think if there's no further discussion, we need to have a motion.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to put on hold the funds until we hear from the grant agency, and when we do at that time, forward to City Council whether it is we are able to do that project.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. So the motion passes 4-2. Okay, we'll be moving.
2002, city staff became aware that the Tidelands Park fence, constructed at the time of the Tidelands Park boundary settlement agreement in the mid-1980s, actually enclosed a small portion of city-managed Tidelands property. In the early 1980s, three property owners of the homes above the approximately 5,000 square foot of land in question desired to maintain use of the Tidelands in front of their homes for the life of the settlement agreement, which was 25 years, ending in 2008. It was detailed in the boundary settlement agreement that the city would construct the fence to enclose the 5,000 square feet, and the property owners were to sign a lease and pay a fixed rent of approximately $900 per year. However, execution of the leases and paying rent did not happen. The city corresponded with the property owners and offered to recommend council approval if they would pay back rent. Apparently, the property ownership situation was a surprise also to the property owners, and they declined the city's offer. In July 2004, they were sent a demand to vacate the property. The property has now been vacated, and the city has constructed a new fence on the true boundary between the private upland parcels and the Tidelands. The old fence remains in place at this time, so a difference may not be noticed even by looking at the very southern corner of the boat launch ramp. The commission reviewed this item at their February meeting, but several commissioners requested additional information. We've attached some background information for your information regarding the situation, as well as a memorandum from the harbor director. And I apologize at the tardiness of this memorandum. The memorandum from the harbor director is dated March 4th, 2005, and he relates to us that the Harbor Advisory Board reviewed the request again last night to make a recommendation to the City Council for future uses of this property. The Harbor Advisory Board recommends that the old fence be taken down so the area can be open to passive recreation. 2003, the city notified the property owners that The city had determined they were using city property without paying rent and requested that they contact the harbor office to resolve the matter. In spring of 2004, the city paid for a survey of the property and determined the appropriate rent per the settlement agreement. Following May of 2004, the city notified property owners of the appropriate rental amount and staff offered to recommend resolution under those terms for the remainder of the settlement agreement, provided they pay 7 years back rent, which was approximately $6,000. June 15th of 2004, the property owner's attorney responds with an offer to pay the rent going forward, but no back rent. July of 2004, the City Council reviewed the property issues in closed session and directed staff to demand the property owners vacate the property. Then on July 14th of 2004, the city sent out a notice that's attached to your packet to the property owners to vacate the property. Subsequently, the city did receive further communication from attorneys for some of the property owners, including offers to pay with checks for the appropriate amounts, some back rent. Staff reviewed those correspondences again with the City Council, and Council reaffirmed their direction to repossess the property. The property was vacated by September of 2004, and as you know, a new fence was constructed between the city and the private property owner. At this time, staff is hoping that you can make a recommendation to the City Council concerning the use of this property. I will tell you that this item is on the closed session for Monday night at Council level. I'm happy to answer questions you might have.
Now my question was that the contract was done back in the mid-80s, and then all of a sudden used over the...
It's my understanding that the leases were not executed for that property.
Okay, thank you. And then the other question, what is the city's goal to do with the property once they... Well, they have ownership of it now. Were they going to make it just passive area? Were they going to...
That's really what we're looking for the recommendation from the commission and the Harbor Advisory Board for. If you've looked at the property, it's an interesting piece of property. It borders the waterfront. And that's what we're looking at your recommendation for, as well as the Harbor Advisory Board, with a final approval decision by City Council.
Okay. Then with that, I agree with the Harbor Advisory to make it a passive area like they did in their meeting.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with that. I watched the Harbor Board meeting and cut down the weeds, mow the grass, and somebody said something about maybe putting in some memorial benches that the city doesn't have to pay for. Something the city doesn't have to pay for and it doesn't cost much to maintain. And we'll wait and see what we can do later when we have some money.
I think that because the lease wasn't executed, that doesn't matter. It was city property 25 years ago. It's city property now. It belongs to the citizens. Yes, we would all like to have a piece of land that we could put our stuff on that didn't belong to us and we didn't have to pay rent for on the harbor. But I don't think that is going to happen unless it's city-owned and it belongs to all of us. So I'm in agreement. I think that it should be returned to open space, fences taken down, weeds knocked down. It's a beautiful piece of land. Also,
to just leave it passive for now, and like Stan says, if we can get a bench or something donated or something to put on there, I think that would be good. Trim it up because the weeds are getting high. And just leave it like that for now.
I agree, and will Harbor Department pay for recreation parks to maintain it?
Well, we were just talking about maintenance issues, and no, probably not. But it's a small area, and it's I don't think it's going to be a significant impact, but it will be more than what we're doing now.
I also agree with the passive use idea, as long as there's no funds being taken to do anything that's costly within the situation that we're in. We have a motion.
I move that we mow down the weeds, ask for don't turn it into a passive park, and if somebody wants to put up some memorial benches, the number to be determined by the recreation director. That's your new job, Andrea. So that's my motion.
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Okay, moving on to item B2, update on the Kids Club registration process for 2005-2006 school year.
Thank you. Based on the comments from the public forum and for pickup and how many packets can be picked up by each person, a system will be set in place for parents to designate a representative to pick up his or her packet if they're unable to do this on the date. It is proposed that Kids Club be divided into three programs, morning, kindergarten, and afternoon, with 24 full-time spots in the morning care, 24 full-time spots in kindergarten care, and 40 full-time spots in afternoon care. Kids Club will move from an hourly rate program to a monthly rate. This new monthly rate will meet our cost recovery ratio approved by the City Council in February, which was 70 to 79% of program plus support costs. An hourly rate will be charged to drop-in families at a significantly higher rate than the current hourly rate of $3.25 per hour. On Thursday, June 2, 2005, at packet pickup, parents and guardians will need to state what program they're choosing, morning, kindergarten, or afternoon. This will be noted on their packet and a list kept by the staff to track as to when all slots are filled. Packets will be distributed to all those in line as well as individuals that request a packet after that date, June 2nd. Packets with tuition payment and registration fees will be due at the community center by Friday, July 1st. If a parent does not turn in his or her packet and fees by that date, their spot will be given to the first person on the waiting list. Shortly after July 1st, parents should know whether or not they are enrolled in the program and where they are in a waiting list. This will provide parents with almost 2 full months to locate alternative child care if necessary. Drop-in spots will be available, however, they'll be limited, and a definition of what a drop-in spot is has yet to be determined. An example of this may be that drop-ins are limited to 8 uses per month as a way to control numbers and eliminate parents from choosing drop-in when full-time spots are not available. Excuse me. And she's also happy to answer questions if you have specific about what we're proposing.
Well, I just have a question off the beaten path real quick. Sure. I know some cities use... Okay, first of all, let me say the Park and Recs is doing a very good job at this. But I know some cities, the school runs the after-school program. Why is our school district not doing that? Why is the city doing that?
Child care programs are expensive, and, you know, it's a choice that San Luis Coastal Unified School District has made not to do so. It's their choice.
Okay.
And they haven't since we were little kids.
Okay, thank you, Heather.
I've got a question. On this, the new monthly rate, this all looks really great to me. How will this... Yeah, I bet you're happy about that. I was wondering, how does the income compare to what we're bringing in now?
What we came up with the monthly rate, there's two ways that I looked at it. I took our revenues that we've generated so far, you know, added them all together and divided by how many months and got that number. Then I multiplied an hourly rate times how many participants and looked at that. And then I also looked at the YMCA, which I think is an excellent agency to look at because they offer the same services in Los Osos, which is, you know, they have about 5,000 more residents. And that's where we came up. And I think it's a very competitive, very fair monthly fee that we will charge.
So we're bringing in right now, compared to the percentage of money we're bringing into the cost for the program, you say it's going to increase our income. How much of an increase is it?
Right, 40.
Yeah, right now we're at 42% cost recovery.
That's a good thing.
And we're going to be moving into 70 to 79% cost recovery. And I'll add a little bit to what Heather said. Basically, what we did is we looked for a monthly rate. We looked at the number of hours you could possibly attend, and then looked at a fee that we felt was equitable. And I think when we broke it down, we're looking at about $3.33 an hour for the monthly rate. If you divided it out, you're not going to have a choice because you're going to pay monthly whether or not you use the program, which was actually one of the things that the community wanted. But when we broke it down to see, well, what we were hoping it wasn't $6.50 an hour, and it's not. It's about $3.33.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Heather, I think you folks did a very good job of taking into consideration all of the suggestions that people at the last public hearing made and putting together this process for the registration and the costs and so on. So this looks great.
Thank you.
I'd also like to say that it's put together well, like Chair Moody says, from the comments from the parents that were here on the last meeting. I guess the only other thing, which needs to be determined, which I would kind of try to see how you're going to figure that, is the drop-in.
When we looked at drop-in, it was decided or it was determined that eight uses per month is a drop-in. That's coming twice a week. And that's fair and equitable. Take in, they say, we'll do drop-in, and they're willing to pay the drop-in weight all 5 days that they come.
Heather, I think it looks great. I have just one question. It's a program within a program, with the kindergarten being until 2:30, is that right?
Yes.
And you have made consideration in all of these thoughts of those parents who want to leave their kindergartner there until 4?
Yeah, they would have to go full time. They would have to do kinder and afternoon.
All right. Great. Looks terrific.
Thank you.
I just have one more question. And this is just really for my knowledge, because this drop-in I may even use. So that would mean that they would be able to use it 8 times a month. But they're not going to be charged until they actually use it, right? And it can only be twice a week, not 3 times a week, to a total of 8 for the month?
No, it's just a total of 8. And it would be run the same way the Kids Club is currently. You make a deposit. I look at it as like a checkbook. You never want your Kids Club checkbook to be negative. You make a deposit, and we subtract hourly from that.
Okay. And then would we have to call, or I guess this stuff I can ask later. Would we have to call to tell you we're leaving the child, or parents?
No, we would function the way that we are currently functioning with the drop-in. Who right. comes in the door is who's there for the day.
Right, because they've already like prepaid a certain amount.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments?
Could
have a motion.
Registration process. We'd be available, some of us, so I'm available if you're going to need help.
Great. We very well may give you a call.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can put me on that list also if you need help.
Is there a conflict of interest if I'm registering my kids?
If you're at the front of the line, we're really
Thank you, Heather. Okay, we'll now move into written communications, item C1.
Just a couple of written communications from the Citizens Bike Committee. We ask that you accept those for file.
I'd like to make a motion to accept it for file.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Moving on to item D, reports. We'll take D1, D2, D3, Andrea?
Yes, I did want to bring one thing to your attention. I'm happy to report to you that the skate park, the new equipment delivery at the skate park is scheduled for, I believe, March 24th, and then we'll be constructing it, and it'll be ready to go. Unfortunately, we're going to miss spring break. We tried our best to make it, but we didn't. But you'll be seeing that. You probably have seen out there that the area has been slurry sealed and cleaned up, anticipating the delivery of that equipment. Other than that, I don't have anything particular to point out on the participation reports, but I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
Does anyone have any questions on any of the participation reports? But you have a question in this area? Mm-hmm. Okay, jump in.
The skate park, we had, I think we had about 10 or 11 young people there to talk about specific designs. They came up with a few alterations to the design, and that's going to come back. And I actually almost brought the boards for you to look at. But it went well. We had good participation, and we'll move ahead to get an engineer's estimate and look at creative ways to finance that.
Terrific. Would there be any way to publicly display that plan at all? Because, you know, some kids may have been sick and not been able to make it to go see that. They really wanted to.
So. You know, we'll put on the agenda for the next meeting and kind of go over what we're going to do there. That's great, a great idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? We have a motion.
I would like to make a motion to accept these for file.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously.
I have one question before we adjourn. When are those tickets sales due back in?
Oh, yeah.
You have to bring those in Friday night?
I believe
or?
4 o'clock on Friday tomorrow.
4 o'clock on Friday's the count?
That's the count.
All right.
How many
sounds
did you
good.
What is this?
Well, I don't know, Andy.
Item D4, Senior Representative Report.
Nothing really much to report, although the seniors did say that they would be making a $200 contribution to the community foundation for the spaghetti feed in addition to volunteering.
Very nice.
That's great.
That's wonderful. Thanks. Item D5, Commissioners. Very good information from representatives from the State Department, and it was great getting together and meeting with some of the other commissioners and hearing about some of the projects or issues that they're dealing with as a commission or with their city council. And they're not dissimilar than the issues that we're dealing with as well. But it was a nice experience. Thanks. No public hearings. Declaration of further agenda items. Basically the skate park review, and we are going to be bringing back the
fee schedule.
Is there any other suggestions for items for the agenda? Have anybody next month? Okay. With that, then.
Make a motion for adjournment.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is meeting is adjourned.